This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Buying up heat.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. This morning, the Energy Department tells us how much we have in reserve. Gasoline, propane, heating oil. It's very likely the price of oil will drop further on these numbers. For heating oil prices, this is the most important time of the year. More now from Nancy Marshall Genzer.
Heating oil prices aren't like gas prices. They don't respond right away when the price of crude falls. That's because heating oil distributors are mainly mom-and-pop operations. They typically buy their oil now. Energy analyst Stephen Shork says distributors could wait and buy their oil later, but that's taking a massive risk heading into hurricane season.
So if you are a wholesaler, that is a lot of sleepless nights over the last 90 days. God forbid we have another Hurricane Katrina, another Hurricane Rita.
Those storms could threaten oil operations in the Gulf of Mexico. As it is, Shork says, consumers will pay 15% to 20% more for their heating oil this winter. He also expects natural gas prices to head higher. They're already up 11% from last year. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Oil's at about $119 a barrel this morning. Wall Street has opened lower. Mortgage lender Freddie Mac posted its fourth straight quarterly loss, and it was three times worse than expected. The Dow is down 62 points to 11,552. The NASDAQ has dropped 10. The S&P 500 is down 7. The markets in Asia finished with 2 to 3% gains. European shares are mixed so far. The world's cheapest car is getting more expensive to make. The cost of raw materials will make it harder for the Indian company Tata to keep its promise. Sell the Nano for $2,500 in India. We're joined by reporter Mehul Srivastava. So Mehul, what does Tata plan to do?
Well, there's no chance they're going to scrap the project. This is a big, in a way, vanity project for Ratan Tata, the CEO of the group, and he's made this promise. The cars are already under construction, and they're already going to be rolling out in October. But what he had told his investors was that they would plan to make money off of the slightly upscale models of the Nano. The base model sells for $2,500, but doesn't have air conditioning or power windows or anything. But the slightly more expensive ones, which will sell for about $3,000, $3,500, will have air conditioning. They'll have these things that will make it possible to charge consumers more.
What about the other manufacturers that have been planning to make low-cost cars? Are they having the same problem?
I think it's interesting. Hyundai Motors said they're going to try and do a $4,000 car. Nissan, Renault tied up with somebody in India that said they'd make another $2,500 car. But Hyundai just scrapped their plans. They said they can't make a car for that cheap. And Nissan, Renault refuses to put a price on their car because it'll be 2 years from now when it's ready. And who knows what commodity prices will do until then.
So this might give Tata an advantage in the market because it's ready to go and it is committed to going.
It's a first mover advantage. That's fantastic. For the first 3 years, they will have the cheapest car in the world.
And the price of steel and the price of raw materials, is it going to affect its market in other countries differently than its domestic market?
I think that in international markets, they can price the car slightly higher. The reason in India why they're wedded to the $2,500 price is because this car became known as the 100,000 rupee car.
Right.
And you can't sell a 100,000 rupee car for 120,000 rupees. You got to sell it for 100,000 rupees.
All right, Mehul Srivastava in Delhi, India. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
The people who created those man-made islands off the coast of Dubai in the shape of a world map just got into another business. That would be acrobatics. Dubai World, its property arm, has purchased a 20% stake in Cirque du Soleil. This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, August 6th on Marketplace.org. For the past year, a small number of trucks from Mexico have been crossing the border and driving right onto U.S. highways. This is a pilot program. This week, the White House extended the program for 2 years. That is, unless Congress kills it next month. From our America's desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch reports.
Here's how most trucks cross the border under the current system. One truck brings the cargo to the U.S.-Mexico line. A second truck carts it across the border. Then a third truck takes the cargo into the U.S. Critics of this cross-border handoff say it costs U.S. consumers $200 to $400 million a year.
It's very inefficient, and that's why it's so superior to have the cross-border trucking.
That's Clayton Boyce with the American Trucking Associations.
You'll save on money, you'll save on employees' time, and more importantly, you'll save on pollution that's being put out because there are fewer miles traveled, and therefore less fuel consumed.
Labor unions oppose the plan, saying Mexican drivers cost American jobs. Others cite safety issues with Mexican trucks and border security concerns. House Democrat James Oberstar of Minnesota says he'll introduce a bill in September to shut the program down. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
In Britain, just like here, people are eating out less and eating out less expensive. Yes, believe it or not, more Brits are turning to fast food. Stephen Beard reports from London.
McDonald's has long been an object of scorn in some quarters in Britain, derided for dumbing down the British palate, accused of fueling the country's obesity problem. But McDonald's UK has confounded the critics. Business is buoyant. As the economy turns down, cheap, fast food looks even more appetizing. Today, the company's looking for 4,000 extra workers, and here's the head of the recruitment campaign, David Fairhurst.
We've got very strong business performance. We've delivered 9 consecutive quarters of growth. And in fact, we're serving 2 million more customers each month. And we are performing well despite consumers feeling the pinch.
The recruitment campaign does face a minor obstacle, an issue of reputation. The Oxford English Dictionary still defines McJob as an unstimulating, low-paid position with few prospects. McDonald says that definition is now out of date and insulting. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Today, British scientists will unveil a new map of the Arctic region. This map has become more important than ever with the fight over oil and other natural resources. From North Carolina Public Radio, Marketplace's Janet Babin has more.
90 billion barrels of oil. U.S. government scientists estimate that's what's under the Arctic ice. No wonder the region's launched an international land grab. Problem is, no one's really plotted out what belongs to whom. This new map of the Arctic solves that problem. Martin Pratt directs the International Boundaries Research Unit at Durham University in the UK, the team that put the map together.
We're hoping that the map will help policymakers to understand the real geographical situation in the Arctic in terms of who claims what, where, and where potential disputes might emerge.
Tensions escalated last year when Russia planted a flag on the seabed underneath the North Pole, hundreds of miles from the country's shoreline. Under international law, nations can only claim these resources if they're physically connected to the motherland. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Gold medal speed skater Joey Cheek will not get to see the Summer Games in person. China has revoked Cheek's visa because of his political activism. He heads up a group of 70 athletes known as Team Darfur. They're raising awareness about China's involvement in Sudan and the human rights violations there. Commentator Robert Reich says this kind of action by China points out a very basic difference with the U.S.
The real competition lurking behind the upcoming Olympic Games is between democratic capitalism and authoritarian capitalism. You see, for years, American policy toward China assumed that trade and economic growth there would generate a large Chinese middle class, and this middle class would demand democratic reforms. Well, we were right on the first part. The Games will showcase a Chinese middle class so big that almost as many Chinese now use cell phones and the Internet as do Americans, and soon as many will own cars. But we were wrong about the democracy part. We thought capitalism and democracy went hand in glove. They don't. Economic reforms in China are well underway. The Chinese can own property and invest, trade what they wish and buy what they want. Private enterprise is in, collectives are out. But when it comes to civil and political rights, China today is where it was almost two decades ago, at the time of Tiananmen Square. Authoritarian capitalism works wonders if all you care about is getting ahead economically and being able to afford more stuff. Never before in history have so many people gained economic ground so fast as in China over the last two decades. But if you're someone with a grievance, or you want to criticize those in power, or you're a Tibetan or ethnic minority, or you happen to like clean air, you're out of luck. Democratic capitalism should win in the end because it responds far better to what people want, not only as consumers, but also as citizens. Yet right now, this contest is not so clear. The Chinese economy is booming while we are in deep trouble. You might think of our upcoming presidential election as our own Olympic Games. It will showcase to the world how well democratic capitalism still works.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.